Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Victory Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. The Bills win another crazy bowl game. And it's beautiful because the Commanders fan base were on our necks all week talking shit. What? Oh, we gonna stomp y'all. We gonna do this. We gonna do that. It's full on. It's worse than any Bears Packer week, man.
Yeah. They done turned it into a rival, bro. Like, it's crazy.
And it all has to do with the pick at number one and the pick at, you know, number two. That's really what it was, you know.
Yeah, Caleb from DC too, so yeah, that played absolutely a part too. He's a hometown kid. Absolutely. And they wanted him.
Yeah, of course. You know, I get it. You know, they was bitter, you know what I'm saying? And they lucked up into Jaden Daniels, you know. Fuck it, it is what it is. Shit, it was sweet last night. It was definitely sweet last night. At first, I got pissed off when we gave up that lead because I knew it felt like eerily similar to what was going on last year. It was like, you know, mistake. I mean, we takeaway after takeaway. You know, we getting the takeaways. We doing everything. We winning in all three phases of the game. You know, we pinning them deep. You know what I'm saying? We punting the ball. And then it's like, I don't know. It just seemed like, for whatever reason, what I noticed is after the first 15 scripted plays, Caleb gets a little tight. You know what I'm saying? It's like the simple, easy shit that he should be hitting on, he's making mistakes on, right? Like the one with Zaccheaus over the middle where, you know, it's a zone and Zaccheaus is sitting down, but he's still expecting Zaccheaus to keep going. So he, yeah, what should have been an easy ass first down, you know what I'm saying? He leads him and then now it's an incomplete pass. And he leads the league in incomplete passes, you know. So when I looked at that, I'm like, why isn't that he can't do the simple shit? Why he can't keep the simple shit simple? It's like he's making mistakes. You know, it's like he getting tight. And then it's like, you can tell he's getting tight. And when he gets tight, the offense becomes stagnant, right? And then when it becomes stagnant, it just becomes, you know, you allowing a team to get back into the game. And then at that point, Caleb feels like it's on him to make a play instead of relying on his teammates. Now, that's what I saw in the first two games that we lost. And I also saw it after, you know, we went up, what was it, 16 to whatever, right? So right after I saw that, I'm like, okay. And then as the game progressed and the Commanders start coming back, and then, of course, you know, they start making a run and doing whatever they was doing, and then they regained the lead. Yesterday, remember, couple podcasts ago, I said the Bears are gonna have one of those moments, right? They're gonna have a game where it's going to be a statement win. It's gonna be a statement win, and they're gonna believe. They're gonna start believing, right? They're gonna start gaining that confidence, and they're going to believe. Last night was that game. I know so, because that's usually a game we would lose. We would normally lose that game.
I think it was probably the last two games. I think the Raiders game played a part. Because, the Bears would. I saw Kyle Brandt talk. He talked about that. He's like, yeah, I was expecting the Bears to lose because that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't block the field goal. When we kick the field goal, we get our field goal blocked.
Yeah. we find a way to fumble the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, we're the ones fumbling the ball. Yeah, Caleb is trying to do the handoff, and we're the one fumbling the ball that gave up the field goal.
Absolutely.
You know, we snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. So I think it was both games that they started to, like, okay.
They started to believe.
I think it was a combination of those last two games.
Yeah. But the point
is interesting. I got a little bit different feel for it myself. I feel like while those games were very good games, and I think they're both needed games. Like I can look at so much of these games, and I said it last week when we was talking about the Raiders game. It was a game that was needed because you walked away from that game saying, man, we got a lot to work on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Through the bye week. And I think they did that. Like, it boded well for what they was able to do with this game coming back out of that bye week. You see that they gave attention to some detail. So I like it. I think it's character win. It's character building. And I think it's culture building. I don't think it's a statement win, though, yet.
Okay.
I don't believe it's a statement victory until you beat a team. While Washington is good, I don't consider them Super Bowl contenders.
They was in the NFC Championship last year.
They was in the NFC Championship. Yeah. But I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders. I want to see a statement victory against a team that is perennially there.
Like, you know, Detroit, what I'm saying? Or Detroit, San Fran.
Baltimore, San Fran. You know,
Baltimore,
one of those teams.
Good this year.
Yeah, Baltimore is not good this year, so you can't really count that one. But, you know, when we talk about statement victories, it's like, oh, you know, Buffalo beating Kansas City or Kansas City beating somebody. These are, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, a statement. Washington ain't on that level to me yet.
Okay.
You feel me? They rode it last year and they did good. But it could vary, and I'm not saying that they're bad, but you look at their numbers and their stats and stuff, they rank towards the bottom of the league in a lot of stat categories as well. They're down there with us in some of them, right? So I just think they're a good team, well-coached team. They caught lightning in a bottle, and they're trying to get better. You know what I mean? And you give them credit for that, but I ain't saying this is no statement victory, not against Washington, not until you're beating a team that I consider a Super Bowl contender year in and year out. That's what I think a statement victory is. But it's culture building, bro, because, you know, like I said, you know, it's a situation where they went into these games, they faced adversity, they overcame some things, and they was able to pull victories out, right? And these are games, like you said, that normally we would have lost. The Bears would have squandered the opportunities. And true enough, they've tried to in both games. They tried to. Special teams, bro. And this, you know what I mean? Like, they got to do something about the kickoffs, man. Because people are gashing them with them kickoffs, returns.
Well, yeah, Commanders got a damn good special team. I'll tell you that. So they got to top to bottom.
But even against the Raiders, though, right? Like when Caleb and them went down and they scored immediately on the kickoff, they gave up, you know, field position to the 50-yard line, basically. And they, you know, you got the blocked kick, but they only really needed 20, 25 yards to get in field goal range off of the kickoff. So those are the things that they need to address. Washington is good at it. And I give Washington credit. I'm not belittling who they are as a squad because I think they're tough. But and Jaden Daniels is dope, too. He's really good. I was looking at him yesterday and it's like, okay, people are like, oh, he had 211 yards passing or whatever, but he was consistent, bro. He was doing it with his legs and his arm and whatnot. Now, he did make some mistakes. He coughed the game up, you know what I mean? And that happens, so, you know. But he's a doggone good player, though. So culture building, character building, no doubt. Games that you needed. Must-win games, in my opinion, because you're supposed to win these games. But I'm going to stop a little bit short of statement victory, though.
Okay. Just to piggyback, like I was saying, in that type of situation with Caleb, right, I'm glad that he figured out yesterday it doesn't have to be all on him and he can rely on his teammates to get the W.
True.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to play hero ball. You know, and the reason why I say that was a statement game is due to the fact of that nature alone, is that Caleb realized that I got other guys out here that, you know, that's about that action too, and and we can get the dub with them. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be all on me. I can rely on these guys. And, you know, what did he have? He had 27 attempts, 27, 28, 29 attempts, something like that, passing attempts. That's his window. You get over that, you start treading, you start getting into deep water territory right there where, you know, he's liable to, it's an ugly game at that point because you get too pass heavy, you know, and you're taking away from, you know, the flow or the tempo of the game, which for the life of me, I couldn't understand. They were getting 7 yards per carry. Why were they going away from it? The offensive line was doing their damn thing. Why didn't they just continue to run the ball down their damn throat? I would have ran the ball so much, I would have lulled their ass to sleep, and then I would have killed them. I'd have killed them with a bomb. You know what I'm saying? Play action pass after like the 15th straight run.
Yeah, that's usually what Ben Johnson does. He usually, you know, runs, and then that defense start creeping up, and then they hit you. I think that's part of too that like they're. I think everybody's learning.
Yeah,
the rookie head coach too, and he ain't the OC. So maybe Dan Campbell was able to reel his ass in because he's still the OC. You can tell the OC you need to run the damn ball more. I ain't calling the plays, but you need to run the damn ball. Now he's the head coach. Offensive coordinators, even if they like to run, they like to pass because Ben Johnson was a fucking quarterback, right? So yeah, he got this shiny new toy in Caleb Williams. They can make all these throws, but at the same time, Caleb Williams is young. And young, dumb, and full of cum. And he goes, every now and then, he goes show it, you know? So, yeah, like, yeah.
Perfect example where you said where he's going to show it. That fucking third down where he's like, get rid of the ball, man.
Yeah.
Get rid of the ball. What are you doing? The play not there. Don't take an unnecessary hit. You're not going to get the first down, bro. Just scrap the play. You know what I'm saying? Let him fight another down. He took a major blow. It pissed me off.
Mike Tyson blow to the face.
It pissed me off. I'm like, why are you taking unnecessary hits, bro? And then you fuck around and get hurt. Then what? Tyson Bagent? Oh, ever since the Tyson Bagent talks have been all but set ablaze here. And all but dead.
You know what I mean? I'm still on it, bro. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we looking at what Caleb does in this offense.
Yeah.
Just imagine what Bagent would do. You know what I mean? Just imagine, bro.
In the words of Smokey, not a damn thing. Straight up.
Imagine, bro. I mean, and Caleb throwing for 250, 300 yards, man. Basically, right. Be out there throwing for 450, 500 every game, man.
Processes better.
Right, you know? Exactly, right. Yo, what the runs fuck the was those refs on last night?
Oh, my God.
That was like one of the worst officiated games I've seen in a very long time. Dude, damn near as bad as that Steelers game on Monday night. Remember?
Yeah, what? Everybody was clowning. It wasn't even just Bear fans. It was like,
yeah, that shit was awful.
Like affiliated. You know, that Rome touchdown.
Oh, my God.
You know, they called on tight.
Egregious.
Egregious.
Even, you know, even the Loveland PI.
Yeah.
Was, you know what I mean? It's like, ah, man, that was so weak, bro. Like, yeah, come on. Yeah, I mean, you see that play. I see that during the course of a game from both sides of a team, both teams that are playing.
Dude was backpedaling anyway.
30 times.
Yeah,
he was backpedaling anyway.
See that 30 times during the game.
Yeah, he's playing zone. Yeah.
I couldn't understand. But, man, those refs, man, you took the fifth touchdown away from Rome Odunze. That would have been 5 games straight.
Yeah,
I believe he would have made history with that or close to it. But he would have tied it.
If they would have scored that touchdown, this game ain't even close.
Exactly.
This game is a wrap, you know, so –
it'd have been,
you
know, what, 20-3 at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
20-3 or something like that.
The whole game. Yeah. But, like, my thing is this with the Bears, right? This is what I said a while ago.
You changed the course of the game, too.
Yeah. You have to start winning. You got to earn respect. Like, even though we said, okay, we don't think the Bears are, like, ready to compete, I always said they got to find a way to win, even if it's ugly. Like, the Bears always found a way to lose because people don't respect you. People are looking at you like a joke. When they came into this game, what are all the pregame? They showing a failed Mary, Jaden Daniel, they slobbing his knob. Oh, he's great. I watched the ending. They didn't even hardly mention the Bears. They kept showing the Bills game and the Falcons game on ESPN and NFL. Mm-hmm. They'll mention the Bears, and then they'll just stop talking about them because Jaden Daniels didn't win. So the Bears are just seen as a joke. So the refs treat them like a joke. The national media treat them like a joke. The fan bases treat them like a joke. So the Bears have to win in order to get away from that stink. And this is the shit you got to do.
They got to change the narrative.
They got to change the narrative. Yeah. That was
a lot of people on Troy Aikman. I mean, you know, Troy, you could clearly see he was kind of biased with his opinions in the game.
I believe they were saying that some of that stemmed from
these guys go through.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a jack where it stemmed from, you know, because at the end of the day, you're supposed to call it non-biased.
Right.
But he's calling it biased. And it's clearly because, you know, the networks they have, they push certain things, bro. Mm-hmm. So if the Bears are known as this laughing stock, like Will said, the joke of the league, basically, you know, never had a 4,000 yard passer. I mean, we could rattle off all the things that they say about Chicago over and over again.
Double doink, fail Mary.
Yeah, double doink, fail Mary. I mean, it's just all of that stuff is just, and it's compounded all the time, right? And then every time you have a nationally televised game, those guys go into production meetings. And I'm telling you, they talk about that. They talk about that stuff. What can we talk about? What can we go back to? You know, how can we entertain the audience? So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some things that are said, and I see it. Chris Collinsworth does it. Troy Aikman does it. You know what I mean? Even guys on Sunday do it, even if it's not a nationally televised game. You know what I mean? Because though that is the narrative. That's the script for the Chicago Bears. They got to change it, and they're doing that. You know what I mean? They're changing it, though. They're changing the narrative.
Yeah, they're going to mention the 85 Bears. They don't have a 4,000-yard passer. The double doink. The fail Mary. Could have had Mahomes. You know, and then – so they kind of trying to – you already see it. They trying to make the Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams thing similar. But them dudes are, like, both talented. So it doesn't work, you know. So they just trying to act like the Bears' curse is, like, lingering on Caleb, especially after the fail Mary. They just kind of built the whole thing. So I'm glad they won. So I know it's not like a state. I think a statement win would be like the Bears going to Green Bay and stomping their ass. Don't we play them in the primetime game?
Yeah,
that would be
Detroit.
A
you know what I mean?
Detroit. Yeah. You know, winning Detroit. You know, that would be a big statement. But this is one of them. I think it may be more than one. But the Bears almost had to beat these motherfuckers.
Had to,
because of that.
Revenge.
Because of what happened last year. Because of the quarterbacks.
Revenge.
They had to fucking win. And then they did it on. So now you're going to see people are going to start saying a little bit different than the Bears. They're going to be like, oh, they went on a road and beat the Commanders, who they hyped up. So they're going to be like, okay, you beat them with Jaden Daniels. And you can say, well, they didn't have Scary Terry, but we didn't have Jalen Johnson. So that's a wash, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So who cares? You didn't have your best receiver. We didn't have our best cornerback. So to actually beat them on the road in prime time was huge. Neither one of the quarterbacks were perfect. Jaden threw a pick. He fumbled the ball. Caleb missed some passes. But they both looked like fucking legit. Like, they're the future of the NFL.
Yeah.
So it was big for us to win. It was big for the running game to get started, you know. So we don't have Caleb throwing the ball 35 times, you know. So what's y'all take on the running game, man? DeAndre Swift, he got a thing for the Commanders, and Kyle Manunga looked good too.
Yeah, you know? I think DeAndre Swift, you know, he's from that East Coast region, man, you know.
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah, he's from Philly, right?
Yeah, he's from him, Zacchaeus, and DJ Moore.
Oh, okay. Oh, from the
Maryland
area.
They all play ball together growing up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
D.C., Maryland area. So that's dope, you know what I'm saying? They from that East Coast region. So they, you know, definitely went out there and showed up. But, man, that running game was serious, bro. And that right tackle, man. Oh, my God, bro. I mean, left tackle. Excuse me. The left tackle. Huh?
Theo Benedict.
Yeah, Benedict. Bruh. We may have found a diamond in the rough, boys. We may not need to go left tackle at all.
I mean,
in
people,
the draft.
Now you gotta look at it, and it's like, you look at that, and then not only him, Darnell Wright played well.
Of course.
Boys up
he
front,
was knocking fools out, bro.
Of course.
But
bro,
one
play where he took out two cats.
He was a monster, bro.
He took out two cats.
He was a monster yesterday. He was a monster. But Theo, man, yeah, like you said, that's a diamond in the rough. You got to, and while we, you know, a lot of people tend to bang on poles, you got to give them credit now.
Yeah.
You got to say, oh, you found something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, shit, it was bound to happen, you know?
You know, we'll see how it continues to go.
Yeah, but he holding his own. Like they say, the sun shines on the dog's ass every now and then. A broken clock is right at least two times a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, hey, I mean, good, Theo Benedict, man, shit. I mean, he showed something. He definitely showed something. And he wasn't going up against no scrubs either.
No, that's
for damn sure. Because that, that defensive front for the Commanders is real.
I like the way he's able to get out, too, and kind of get downfield and make some blocks downfield. That's good. When you have a speed back, you got to have that. You know what I mean? Like, that. They threw a screen pass to DeAndre Swift. That went far. That was, on the right side with Darnell Wright and them boys over there. But still, I mean, when you have some athleticism at and these guys are young. This offensive line is young.
Darnell Wright is 23.
Benedict is 23. You know what I mean? So you got some younger guys. You know, of course, Tooney is a little aged, but you know, he's seasoned. Let's put it that way, right?
What's dope is the fact that I could sit back last night and I can watch Caleb Williams go back there, get to the top of his drop, pat the ball a couple times, you literally watching him go through his reads while he's in the pocket. He's like one, two, three. Four, back to two. Oh, he's open. Boom. He had time to do that. Literally had time to do that. The offensive line took some time to gel, but it is a far cry, night and day difference from week one to what we saw last night.
Them holes? Did you see them holes?
Man,
you forget DeAndre Swift is that fast.
Huge.
If he goes through that hole, he's like,
he gone, bro.
Yeah. We was gashing him good, baby. We was gashing him good.
Big time games. I mean, them holes were huge. Guys, they was moving people. You know what I mean? And I like that. The physicality that they played with, the ability to move somebody else against their will is in football, bro. That's the name of the game, dog.
Absolutely.
Like that's the name of the game. Like, if you can do that consistently, you will be a good football team, period.
Absolutely.
We've been on this podcast screaming about the trenches for years.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to say something, too. I saw people on the internet, they talking about Cam Scatterbull. I like Cam Scatterbull. I wanted the Bears to draft him.
I love Cam.
I thought they were going to draft him in the fourth round, but he went a couple of picks before this. I want to clarify that. He went before we picked, like three picks.
Right.
So we didn't get – and somebody said, oh, well, we should have kept our third round drafted. Hindsight is 2020, and I will never knock the Bears for doing this. You know how they drafted with those two late second-round picks? Ozzie Trapille and Turner. Those are trench players. I would never tell the Chicago Bears to draft a running back over a trench player. I just want to say
And while Scatterbull is good, while he's good, is we don't know if he's going to be –
If
you know what I'm saying?
How
can you sustain it? We, you know, you don't know. It ain't. Let's be real. It's not many white running backs. Let's just be real about it. But I'm not saying he can't be. He can be dope, of course. But
dope.
You know, yeah, he is. He's a good.
But
player.
I'm gonna draft trench players over running backs.
Absolutely.
I'm just being all
day,
I'm
every day.
All day, every day. Because Cal Manunga, he had some good runs yesterday too.
Every day.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about the fourth round, bro.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Bijan Robinson, right?
Yeah, nah, that dude's that's a game.
That's a different animal right there.
That's a beast. But, he single handedly with Buffalo ass by himself last night.
That man's a monster, dude. That's different.
Texas running backs, boy.
Yeah. I was gonna say, now if you got a chance between Bijan Robinson and Trent, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's different.
That's a huge difference.
Jonathan Taylor, you know what I mean? Something like that. Okay, all right. Well, now we talking, but
yeah.
Cam is a good player, but he ain't on that level. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So yeah, man. What about that shot of Ben Johnson telling somebody in the headset to shut the fuck up?
I think that was Caleb, because he's talking it. Because I'm pretty sure. Hey, Ben Johnson, the cold.
That's
cold
funny.
Dude,
he's like, shut the fuck up and run. I was like, damn, who are we talking to? I thought he was talking to the office coordinator up there that kept talking into the headset. It was one of the two. Could have been Caleb. Could have been, you know, could have been somebody. He's like, shut the fuck up and call the play. I was like, damn, okay. That was real. Hey, I seen that, I died laughing. Like, damn, okay then.
I like seeing it though, man. I like seeing the coach take the lead and really, you know, getting guys in line, man. Like, hey, run it, do it how I say do it, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's it. So
Because what he's telling them, and I like that, because they end up winning the game, and I saw the players, they said that we believe in Ben Johnson. Because he's telling them when some shit go bad, it's easy to start pointing the fingers and fucking losing your bearing, and he just stays the fucking course. He's like, I think that's what he's saying. He's like, I don't give a fuck running, because they got a penalty on that play. So, and it looked daunting. And he's just like, no, motherfucker, keep your foot on the gas. We gonna keep going. And he doesn't stop. And that's when you, that culture you build, these motherfuckers aren't giving up. Matt Eberflus, he would start fucking standing on the sideline and not knowing. Shane would have been over there with his fucking
shaking.
That was like the first game, wasn't it?
Where he was shaking like that, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, this dude is nervous as damn." Like, yeah, we knew Shane wasn't it right then and there, bro.
Yeah, man. You remember like Matt Eberflus? We should be calling him timeout. He's just staring out in fucking space, bro. You don't know what he. This ain't.
I never forget like... Detroit. On the sideline, I'm sitting there in the stands. I'm looking. And the clock runs out. I look at the scoreboard, and we still got time out. And he's just standing there looking. He's looking dumb. Like I'm looking. I'm like...
looking dumbfounded and shit. Like, what happened? Ridiculous, bro.
I couldn't believe it.
You serious?
And I was like, fire him. He need to be fired now. He need to be fired now. Yeah. And then 10 o'clock the next morning...
he was fired.
I found out he was fired. I was like,
he knew. Okay. That's probably what he's thinking about. He's like, I'm fucked.
Yeah. That was pretty much it. I'm like, fired. Bro, there was no excuse for that.
He's like, fuck it. Fuck this time, and I'm fired anyway. He probably got a text from George McCaskey. You're fired.
Yeah. That's it. That was the last straw.
He learned the hard way.
That junk was crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. They believe. They actually believe. And I think we're going to have some games like the Saints game, man. You know, we should... we ain't gonna give predictions, but that's a game where you shouldn't,
it should be an ass whooping. It should be an abomination. It should be a fucking blowout. Okay. Case closed. I'm not worried about no fucking Spencer Rattler. I'm not worried about shit they got in New Orleans, bro, at all. That should be an ass
that's about it. That's
whooping.
The beige wonder.
That should be a grab your ankles. Straight up, pull them down, grab your ankles, belt to ass. Straight up. That should be a true ass whooping, bro. The Bears should win by at least three scores that game. Three scores.
Yeah.
Three scores.
Yeah, okay?
Three scores.
I want them to, I don't know. I think two.
Like, that should be an ass whooping all the way around.
Two would be decent.
Two would be good.
If anything less than that, people
it's uncivilized.
We don't know about you.
Anything less than that, we'll be uncivilized, like the old right guard commercials. Anything less, we'll be uncivilized. But yeah, straight up, man. Players that stood out to me, especially on the defensive side of the ball, Jaquan Brisker, man. And it seemed like Dennis Allen is using him better and using him more. Shout out to my man Keno, you know what I'm saying, on that one, because my man Keno called it out. He definitely was texting me and was like, yo, they should use Brisker closer to the line of scrimmage. You know what I'm saying? Walk him up. Let him be the eighth, ninth man in the box. You know, whatever, whatnot is going to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's a ball hawk. He get the pick. Boom. You know what I'm saying? He called that one too. He was texting me. He called that. He's like, you know, watch the pick. You know, boom. He got the pick. Walked up on the line of scrimmage. You know, filled it up. Forced my man to cut back. And then that's when Sweat caused the fumble. You know, right there, right then and there. Boom. You know what I'm saying? He hits the ball, caused the fumble. So, shout out to Keno on that. Shout out to Dennis Allen for using Jaquan Brisker correctly and in the right way. And really, shit, he's a Troy Polamalu in a bigger body. You know what I'm saying? Tight player in a bigger body. He wants to be around the ball at all times. He wants to create chaos at all times. You know, I would say... a Bob Sanders type, just a bigger body, you know, those type of players that want to be in the mix, you know what I'm saying, can stop the run, can defend the pass, can do it all, you know, just all over the field. That's the way Jaquan Brisker wants to be used. So he stood out to me tremendously yesterday on the defensive side of the ball. Webster did pretty damn good too on the corner end, you know, on the other side of the ball at corner. Stevenson held his own, you know. Kyle Gordon. Kyle Gordon, he came back, you know, and he got burnt, you know what I'm saying? But that's just due to him being out, you know?
Yeah, he ain't been
out there in a minute, you know what I'm saying? So he came back and got you know, got torched a little bit. But it's all good, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that is going to happen. He got to get his bearings up under him. He hasn't, you know, this was the first time he's played live football action since the last game last year against the Packers, you know? So got to give him a little grace. Got to give him a little grace. But I was excited to see players step up when they needed to step up. You know, big time players make big time plays in big time games and then gotta have it moments.
Yeah, I want to say something about the defense. The Redskins are like one of the best running
Redskins
offenses in the league. I mean, sorry. I'm about to get canceled, bro. Commanders, I'm OG. Uncle OG. Come
on. It's crazy how so many people are like, why did they change that? I mean, you got this Florida State Seminoles. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. Nobody ever makes it, but you know, I digress.
They try to claim that it was offensive and you know whatever, but the original tribe where that symbol came from, they wanted it and was like, hell no, that ain't offensive. They wanted the check that they was getting too. You know what I'm saying? They wanted the check that was coming with that too.
There you go. It's all the money.
Absolutely.
Money. Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the answer. You hit it.
And when they changed it from the Redskins to the Commanders.
That money stopped.
It was all she wrote.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, the Bears did good on the run. I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's going to do that. You know, you got a mobile quarterback. Sometimes they're going to break it. Caleb does it to people, not as much as Jalen. Mm-hmm. But they're going to break the pocket. You think you're going to have them sacked. They're going to spin out of it. They're going to pick up 15 yards in the touchdown. The first down. That's part of the game. But the Bears did pretty good with that run game, man. And that's been an Achilles heel. I was worried about that coming into this game. I was like, man, you got the number one rushing team and the worst rush defense in the NFL. And they held it down for the most part, man. They got their run fits together. Just like they got their run game together, they got their run defense together, man. And that's huge going forward. Because if that team can stop the run, hey, man, it's good to go. I mean, once JJ gets back, if he can come back, that secondary we know is no fly zone.
Absolutely.
So we can develop any kind of pass rush while stopping a run. You might be cooking when it get later in the year when you get JJ back. And then your run game starting to work. We already know. We already said this on this podcast. It gets cold in Chicago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We play outside. We got to play the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Outside. We got to play outside. We got to play the, you know, so we're going to have a run game, you know, especially you don't want the quarterback throwing the ball. So I felt it was good to see our run game going and stopping the other team's run game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it should be belt to ass. Our next four games, the Saints, the Ravens, who are reeling, the Cincinnati Bengals, who are reeling. Again, it could be a problem with Joe Burrow. Joe Flacco. Two Joes. Joe Flacco, old ass back there. You know, you got Browning at quarterback, whatever. And then, of course, you going up against two top 10 tier receivers in the NFL against Jamar Chase, who going to get his regardless. As you saw on Sunday, he got his regardless, you know. And the fact that, you know, T. Higgins on the other side. So you got that, and then you got the Giants. You know, the woe is me Giants that got to come to Soldier Field. So I see us taking care of business the next four, man, but we'll see. Not to get too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I want to get ahead, but I think the Ravens, even though they ain't,
it's still gonna be tough. Behind,
because if Lamar Jackson is back, he's still Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like they've been
He's still a what three time MVP, right?
So he's supposed to be back when he plays us. So that ain't no gimme game. Like
No.
The Bengals, I ain't really worried about
Joe.
But the Ravens, they still the Ravens.
Yeah.
Ravens. They might be down now, but
that's kind of like Ron Homer stupid ass at Michigan talking about, oh, they all coming to the Coliseum to see Michigan. Motherfucker, that's still SC.
Yeah.
Like you tripping, bro.
Yeah.
Like they can beat any fucking team in the country. Like, exactly. That's still SC. You do understand who you playing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he found out the hard way when they went out there and got their ass whooped. So, like you said, that's still Baltimore, bro. That's still Lamar Jackson at the end of the day. That's still you know, they Superman in the cape. So if they could take care of that, you know, so be it. But like I said, I do believe that we can go on a run because we at home against the Saints, we can get that. We on road against Baltimore, it's going to be tight, but we can get that. We on road against the Bengals, we can get that. We at home against the Giants, we can get that. Against Minnesota, they don't scare me with fucking what's his face back there?
It don't matter who back there
at all. They don't scare me, and plus we owe them one anyway. Yeah. We and plus we'll be a much better team, but we can get that. And then we got grandfather time, Aaron Rodgers. That one is going to be personal at Soldier Field. But guess what? We can definitely get that ass. We can get that ass. All right. The Eagles, week 13. That's going to be our test.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That's going to be our test.
You know, that's what you're looking at. You know, you talking about statement games. That because, might be a statement game.
Absolutely.
Right? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it could be a true possibility. It could be a true possibility that we go into that game 9-2.
Yeah, I don't want to get that far ahead, though, bro. I can't do it.
But I'm just saying, it's a possibility. It's a strong possibility. We can go into that game 9-2.
It's a possibility. I've been saying they can get on a little miniature run right here where they can reel off 5 or 6 victories in a row. They got 3 right now.
Yeah,
right?
We got 3.
So, yeah, they got a real opportunity to get 5 or 6 of them in a row.
That last five is a fucking gauntlet.
But that's when you change, right? That's how you change the narrative. Mm-hmm. That's how you change the culture, the character of the team, right?
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, you start believing. When you get on a run like that, I don't care who you're beating. That's why I say these are must-win games, because you're supposed to beat who you're supposed to beat, period. So when I say it's a must-win game, people are like, oh, it's not a must-win game. You got to have a must-win games or against... No, it's a must-win game. If you're supposed to beat them, if your talent level is higher than theirs, you beat who's on the schedule. I don't care who it is. Yep. And if you lose to them, no, you can't lose to who you're not supposed to lose to. Mm-hmm. We go up against a team like the Saints. We go up against a team that's reeling like Cincinnati without Joe Burrow. And they got a 40-year-old quarterback in there, 41-year-old quarterback in there, whatever
he is.
Don't
even know the playbook fully.
Don't know the playbook fully. Yeah. You're supposed to beat that team. You know what I'm saying? So... You know, I just want to go back real quick. We talked about, you know, who stood out. You got to give Jake Moody some love.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Being called up, was he called up the day prior to the
game? Yeah, the day prior.
So he's called up on Sunday.
Actually, the same day. Okay. He was called up the same day.
Yeah, because
Cairo was a last minute scratch.
Last minute? I don't know if it was, I thought it was the previous day, but if it was same day, even more so. You got to give him credit. I mean, 4 for 5 on field goals, he had 1 blocked. But, you know, a 47-yarder, a 48-yarder, the game winner. I mean, you got to give him credit, man. The young kid came in there and did his thing, 25 years old.
Kicker out of Michigan.
Under pressure, definitely under pressure. Was cut earlier by the San Francisco, you know what I mean? Was supposed to be their kicker of the future. Yeah, you know what I mean? So he could have went out there and bombed out, but he went out there and he played, man. I got a game ball. He was well-deserving. And
I know Santos is like,
too. That's another thing. Keeping the Bears in the game because, and I want to touch on this too briefly. In the first half, I understand Ben Johnson is aggressive and he liked to go for it, but he should have took them points, bro. When they had the opportunity to kick that field goal and they went for it, they didn't get it. They didn't convert because Caleb made that bad throw. Yeah. Like. That, you know, to me, that changes the dynamic of the game because you're already up. You put yourself up by two scores. It's a 2-possession game, right? And, you know, if you're in the second half, then maybe I would go for it, you know what I mean, or try to apply some pressure. But at that point in time, I don't really think you needed to go for it. I think they should have stretched the lead out, you know. And then you do have a young kicker. To me, the more opportunities to make easy field goals for him, the better. And didn't hurt him yesterday or anything like that. But I just felt like they should have took the points in the first half. I like the aggressiveness from Ben Johnson, but that's something that we're probably going to have to live with from time to time. Like, he's going to make that decision. And it's going to be like, dang, bro. Like, I don't know if that's the right one. You know?
I know that is he could have went for the 3. You're going to, like, look how many yards they picked up on the run. You ran the ball on 3rd and long, and they almost picked it up. Mm-hmm. Just run it again. Your offensive line is dominating. Yeah. Put Calvin Nunn got back that lineup and just get that 1 yard.
Get that 1 yard.
You know, but to throw it, I'm just like, you know, yeah, that's, you know. But if it works out, everybody happy. You know, it's
yeah,
one of those
yeah,
things.
Yeah. Hindsight 2020 thing.
Yeah, so, yeah. But yeah, you could have went for, I think, yeah, you should have went for the three if you didn't go for the three, at least running.
Yeah. Yeah.
And live with. But hey, I'd rather be talking about what we got to fix in a win, because you know Ben Johnson ain't going to let that shit slide. He's going to be hard on himself.
Right.
He's going to be hard on the players. You know?
Right. And that's what I like seeing. Because, and that's why I said that game against the Raiders was needed, because the team was going into a bye week. Yeah, if they blew the Raiders out, which is what I wanted to see them do, they would have went into the bye week a little lax, probably. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, you know, on that other podcast, you know, they went into that game thinking, oh, man, we almost lost that game. We clearly should have won. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is another one. They had takeaways. They didn't turn the ball over, but they had, what, three takeaways. It shouldn't have been a one-score game. It shouldn't have been a one-point game. You shouldn't have had to pull that game out at the end. So these are things, once again, it's character building, it's culture building, because you're getting it done at the end. You're overcoming stuff. You're overcoming adversity. Those are dope things. But at the same time, Ben still has a lot that he has, that he can have his team work on. And I was happy to see them go into a bye week, come out of a bye week, and it looked like they worked on some
games. Yes. You know how many times we came out with looking these unprepared from coaches, a bye week?
Bro, my God. Coming out of a bye week, you should always be more prepared than the team you're going against, because you got 2 weeks to prepare for them. Mm-hmm. You know how much film you look at? You know how much ammunition you got against this team? So you should always look. It should be a difficult game for the opposition, anybody coming out of a bye week. And the Bears were always ill-prepared, bad, just didn't look good under Eberflus, under Nagy, coming out of bye weeks. And now we have a guy, and I'm like, because I was looking at that, I'm like, I wonder what this team is going to look like coming out the bye week, because it's been a long time since we looked decent. And it looked like they worked on a lot of stuff, from the offensive line to the run game to the pass blocking to, you know, Caleb's decision making to, you know, they talked about some of the stuff that they have been working on, which is getting the ball to guys and throwing them running balls where they can make plays after the catch. You know right. what I mean? Stuff like that. So they're working on specific things, and I like to see that, man.
It was solid, man. It was all around solid performance. It was definitely solid. I liked it, man. Like I said, that's why I tweeted out, I felt very confident going into that game last night. I felt confident, man. I didn't feel that in quite some time. I felt real confident that I'm going in and doing what they were supposed to do. Now, as far as, like I said, we got next week's opponent, the New Orleans Saints. If I'm pretty sure we shall be prepared. But, you know.
And that's a home game too, right?
Yeah, that's a home game.
Okay.
That's why I said that should be an ass whooping. That should be an ass whooping that you handing out. No yeah. questions asked. It has to be.
Yeah.
It got to be an ass whooping. Then you go to 4-2. You know, and then you worry about the Baltimore Ravens right after that. You know, and then Cincinnati. And then after you take care of Cincinnati, you know, you got old man Rogers, who's been talking shit that I want to see fucking planted into the earth. consistently. Disrespectfully. So, you know, I'm not going to go that far, but hey. I hated Brett Favre so much, man. When we got our opportunity, boy, we sure took it, and I was happy.
So let me ask y'all, what's the biggest issue now going forward? Right, like we've touched on a lot of the good, but you know Ben, right? Ben is working on what he's trying to fix the problem. So what's the biggest problem that the Bears have at this point in time going forward?
The biggest problem. Yeah, go ahead, Roy. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, you good. I like the run game. The biggest, the second on the offense is consistency. I'll say that with Kayla, like you said, he misfired a couple times. He'll make the right read, which is good. Mm-hmm. He usually doesn't put the ball in harm's way, but like you said, that throw he missed to Zacchaeus. You know, he sat in his own. He was throwing it. Things like that. Or he picked up the one, he picked the run. It was like a bootleg. And he picked up the first down and ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
Rome was throwing up the mailbox.
Woo!
Yeah. You know, that was another one where you could have just killed.
You could have just chucked
right
it.
There.
Touchdown.
You could have just chucked it. Just don't overthrow. Just chuck mm-hmm. it good enough. And then it was another deep ball where he underthrew Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Had to come back and try to make a play. Rome had both defenders beat. If he would have just planted his feet and launched it, those opportunities. And the defense, obviously the pass rush, right? We got to get some type of pass rush. And just the consistency. Ben Johnson said that they haven't played a complete game, even though they won their last three.
Yeah.
That even the Cowboys game, it wasn't a complete. Like, you know, you see a team like when the Chiefs are rolling, the Eagles are rolling, the Bills mm-hmm. are rolling. It's just like
they hitting on all cylinders. Yeah.
They
on everything.
Crushing you.
Yep.
They ain't no let up. The defense is playing. The special teams are playing. The offense got the ball.
Detroit is like that. Detroit does that.
Yeah.
Where they're kicking the field goal. They in the red zone every time they touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears haven't hit that point yet. If they want to hit that next level, they got to be firing on all cylinders. They haven't mm-hmm. even done it yet for one game. So mm-hmm. I need to see them at least fire on all cylinders, complimentary football for one game, and then start to stack it.
Mm-hmm.
All three phases. And then to where it's just consistent. It's just consistent. And that's when you become that next level contender. So for me, overall consistency, they just got to be consistent on all three phases, like mm-hmm. systematically.
Yeah, again, I piggyback off you again. Will, it's consistency. It's basic consistency. I want the Bears to be more consistent in their play, because again, if they're consistent and nobody's jumping off sides and nobody's holding mm-hmm. and none of that, they should be the type of offense, again, the type of offense that we run, again, they should be up there with the Detroits, the Kansas Cities, the Buffaloes, where they just boat race your ass in the first quarter, game over.
Mm-hmm.
That game could have been washed last night. If they, again, like I said, they count that Roma Dunze touchdown, it's 20-3 at that point. I don't even think they had three. Well, they may have. It would have been 20-3 at that point. That would have been all she wrote. I told people, this is Rome's year. He's going to emerge. 1,500 plus yards. I don't know how many touchdowns. I don't know how many receptions. But Rome is a dog. And he coming with it. You know, he definitely coming with it. But that offensive consistency, what I would like to see is also, is these niggas tackling with their eyes closed, bro, on defense? Because how the fuck you knock out Sewell? Like, he just knocked him out. Just like he see my man coming, not closed his eyes, and just launched his body. Like, how do you not see that?
But that's a big man, though, bro. Like you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be, you know, you're talking about somebody 340 pounds. You know what I mean? He ain't going to be the most nimble and most
agile.
Accurate.
Like, damn, near decapitated my man, bro.
He's just trying to get his hands on somebody. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I can't
he did.
Blame him for that. It just happens.
He damn near decapitated old Sewell, man. Noah. He was sitting, I was like, oh, shit. Is he paralyzed? Gave me Johnny Knox flashbacks damn near. But, you know, like I said, it's just the consistency, man, on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. They've been stopping the run, you know. Containment is what I like to see on the defensive side. Quarterback containment. Because, man, Jaden Daniels was busting their ass up when, you know, when he wanted to take off. He'll scramble, pirouette in the motherfucking pocket. Then see that he got a lane open. Then he'll test the lane to see if he got a spy on him. And then just... here come the spy backer coming on down, and he getting his motherfucking jock left on the 20-yard line because he done got the shit shook out of him.
Hey, I mean, great players.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, bro.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, if see, I'd agree with you if you know you got somebody that shouldn't be doing that doing mm-hmm. it to you. You know what I mean? But Jaden Daniels, he do that to a lot of teams, man. You know what I mean? So you gotta take it with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? And say, hey, you know. Sometimes, you know, great offense beats the defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to happen. And in this day and age, that's the topic that I wanted to get to is like, because I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, like, this team, in the NFL, right, when we're talking about defenses, everybody, you're not going to stop everybody. It's too many rules that are slanted for the offense. You're not going to have guys going out here giving up 13 points per game and holding people under 70 yards rushing. That the days of Baltimore Ravens and Chicago Bears being dominant defensive teams like that, those days are done and over with. Now it's a different situation where you have a situation where you try to force guys to make mistakes. And the Bears are really good at doing that right now. The takeaways, like Ben Johnson said in this little, you know, team meeting at the end of the game, like, it ain't by accident. That's not luck. They doing that on purpose. They getting it done, right? So that's something they gave attention to detail to. And I think the takeaways, that's the name of the game defensively nowadays. How many takeaways can we get? How many more opportunities can we give our offense? That's the name of the game. It's not necessarily shut them down. It's take the ball away. Because ain't nobody shutting nobody down in today's game of football. It just ain't happening.
Right.
Most teams just shut themselves down. Like the Bears, 2 years ago, a year ago, they were shutting themselves down. It wasn't because we was going up against great defenses. Mm-hmm. It's because we had bad play calling. It's because we had poor players.
Piss, you know, poor what I'm coaching. Saying? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now you see that with the Bears, and they're getting those takeaways. I like that. The things that stand out to me, though, that we need to work on is the pass rush, bro. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with us. Right now, we're getting away and we're sliding with this pass rush, being so pathetic, anemic. But it's like they're allergic to getting to the quarterback. You know what I mean? They don't want to. They do the opposite. So they gotta manufacture a pass rush somehow. And I think Dennis Allen was trying to find ways of doing that yesterday, which is cool. I see him working on that. So we'll see how it goes. And then the second thing is, like you said, consistency. I want to see it from the quarterback, though. There's some things that, you know what I mean? And I don't want to beat on Caleb, right? I'm not beating on him because he played a good game.
Yeah, but he makes the simple decent, shit difficult.
But it was, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Consistency means playing smart. Consistency means, you know, that slap that he took on the sidelines, he didn't have to take that hit. So get rid of the ball, man. You know what I mean? You're doing too much. You're not going to get away from everybody in the NFL. You know, them crossing patterns. You know what I mean? The YOLO ball. I think he threw one yesterday. It was a YOLO. It didn't get picked, but he threw it in the double coverage to Rome. That was not a good throw. That was not. It's like, I understand giving your guy a chance to make a play, but not on two defenders that are right next to him.
Right.
Maybe one on one. Bracketed. One on one, but not when he's bracketed. One over the top and one underneath him. Like, come on, bro. Like, you know. And I understand wanting to take a shot here and there, but you got to take the smart ones. So I think that's the consistency that I'm looking for. And then also with him, the consistency of being able to identify what the zone and what the man is, because I don't think he has grasped that completely yet. Because like we said, you know, it wasn't just the one to Alamides Zaccheaus where he threw it to him, you know, like he was in man coverage when he was sitting down. There was a couple of them like that yesterday. So you got to be able to identify it. Okay, it's a zone. My receiver's going to sit down. The receiver's doing his job. It's your job to throw the ball where he's supposed to be now. So, you know, once we get that, and those are things that are, it's a young quarterback, so it's things that he's working on. So I'm not beating on him, people, but I am calling it, you know, what I see. Like, that's just what I see, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah, because, like, once the thing about it is, improve, and once he does, and you see it progressing, he's making the right reads, he's just off on the coverage.
Yeah.
So when they start doing this consistently, he start learning, that's when the Bears are going to take that next step. They're skating by and winning tight games, but the good teams, Josh Allen, they all had to go through this.
It took
Josh Allen about his third, fourth year before he became Josh Allen.
Yep.
You know,
same thing with Mahomes. I bring that up all the time. He said he couldn't even identify the Mike linebacker until that was in the Super Bowl season.
Yeah.
He had a great team around him. You know?
Yeah.
So
you know, once he gets it though, I think that's, you know, what Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof.
Yeah. You know, for sure.
So it's coming. Like Ned said, it's gonna be that one day where it just comes together, he's gonna click and it's gonna be magic. You know, mm-hmm. Like, oh shit, we got a top three quarterback in the NFL. Because that's his ceiling. His ceiling is top three, top five quarterback in the NFL, week in, week out.
And that's a fact.
This is only his second year. What game is this? He played 17 games last year. This is his fifth game. This is what, his 23rd game?
Yep.
You know, and he's doing damn good. He got 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. Absolutely. Ran for 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
He ain't even scratching the surface.
Not even. Because it's a lot of stuff that we say that, you know, I think about the misses that he's had, right? Think of how much more of this he could easily have. What's he got, 9 touchdowns? He could have 13 or 14 with some of the misses.
Yeah.
He could have, you see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's, you know, like you said, the sky's the limit. Like, you know, he got a lot of potential. That ceiling is very high for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, hey, that's all we got. We can cover the Saints.
For sure.
When we face them. But other than that, man, I ain't got nothing. One shot that I got on me. It's not a shout out, but rest in peace to the singer D'Angelo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That was wild. That was a wild thing to see. That wasn't on my bingo card this morning at all. You know,
so. I was like, that ain't real. That
right, exactly. That's, you know. So
you never know what people are going through, man. What they, you know what I mean? Yeah. They said he's been having a silent battle with pancreatic cancer, and that's what took him out the game. So, you know, you never know what people are really dealing with. And you know, man, it's tough, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. You know, I feel for their son the most because he lost his mother March 1st and he turned around and lost his father.
It's crazy. You
know, so Angie Stone was gone March 1st and now today D'Angelo gone. But idiotic tweet of the week, though, is by Kay Adams. Hey, Kay Adams. you starting to come back to the fandom thinking that you can reclaim your spot.
Nah.
You know, where spots taken, seats taken, and the locks are changed. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
You be them thirsty cats that be letting it slide, the thirsty.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, she can come back. Nah. You stay over there.
Nah, you stay over there, Shorty.
Yeah.
Stay where you at.
She tend to stick with the flavors of the months. So she can rock with that. Does. But she can't come back this way. The bank is closed. The bank is closed, if you know what I mean.
There was a lot of idiotic tweets though from them Commander fans, but it's too many.
Definitely.
But yeah, shout out to Bears Twitter. I'll say this. I like Bears Twitter when the Bears are winning.
Yeah.
Because we ain't fighting each other. And we take it out on everyone else. And it's glorious to see because we got some motherfuckers in our fan base.
Oh, yeah.
We got some animals, dude. Some savages.
That's hilarious as hell.
Savages. Oh, I forgot what that was like since 2018 when we were just dragging everybody, dude.
Yep.
We had to start. And we just been infighting.
Yep.
So when we start winning, we just start fighting everybody else.
Fighting everybody else, and it's better then. It's much better.
Absolutely. Got to keep it going.
It's hilarious.
Yes, sir, man.
All right, till next week.
Till next week.
Y'all take it easy, man.
Peace.
Peace.